today. A countdown for TikTok as the US Senate says it's time to divest or be banned.
The charm offensive by world leaders preparing for a possible second Trump presidency.
Boeing's earnings in the spotlight after a turbulent first quarter.
And the battle against plastic pollution sees global divisions wider than ever.
It's Wednesday, April 24th. This is Reuters World News, bringing you everything you need to know from the front lines in 10 minutes, every weekday. I'm Tara Oakes in Liverpool.
And I'm Carmel Crimmins in Dublin.
On this vote, the yeas are 79, the nays are 18. The motion to concur in the House amendment to the Senate amendment to H.R. 815 is agreed to.
A sweeping foreign aid package is passed in the Senate. Among the bills greenlighting aid for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan is one that bans TikTok in the United States unless its Chinese owner sells up. The legislation is driven by worries among U.S. lawmakers that China could access Americans' data with the app. Josh Ye is in Hong Kong and has been following the story. Josh, what is ByteDance, the Chinese owner of TikTok, going to do?
ByteDance is going to take a lot of illegal actions to try to stop this. They're probably going to take it to the court that made that very specifically. They will exhaust every possible means to fight this through the courts.
What has Beijing's reaction been?
China relabels this as, you know, another evidence that the U.S. trying to contain the development of Chinese technology. After Huawei, this is another high-profile incident that a Chinese company forced to exit the U.S. market. And Beijing is not really on board with ByteDance selling its core technology, which is recommendation algorithm.
And of course, this is all happening in an election year in the U.S.
Immediately following up to the passing of the bill, a lot of the Chinese netizens are still feeling that, you know, there's a big chance that this may not happen because this is election year. If Trump does get elected, this whole thing can take a very different turn. Because Trump has said that he's not fully on board with this, you know, proposal, because the banning of TikTok would really mean that it would give Meta, the developer of Facebook and Instagram, too much power in the social media space.
And in the meantime, U.S. consumers can still access the app.
Yeah, with all the legal wrangling that are destined to happen, we're really expecting somewhere between a year to 18 months before the whole thing get enforced.
Russian security services have detained one of the defense minister's deputies on suspicion of taking bribes. Timur Ivanov was held on Tuesday and works for Sergei Shoigu. It's the highest profile corruption case since the war in Ukraine began in 2022. Facing a wall of NYPD officers, Columbia University demonstrators chant and wave Palestinian flags. Gaza protests are showing no signs of slowing down on US college campuses. Protests against Israel also filled the streets in Brooklyn as demonstrators demand an end to civilian casualties in Gaza. Protests too on the streets of Buenos Aires. Here, students are angry about government cuts to public universities. Tuesday's march was the biggest one yet, opposing President Javier Milei's austerity policies.
At Donald Trump's criminal trial in Manhattan, there's a pause today, with former National Enquirer publisher David Pecker continuing his testimony on Thursday. On day two, he said he used his tabloid newspaper to kill stories that might have hurt Trump's election bid. Trump denies all the charges. Tough questions await Boeing as it announces results this morning. The plane maker is still reeling from a mid-air blowout that's put it in the crosshairs of regulators, lawmakers, and Wall Street. David Shepardson will be on the earnings call. David, what should we expect?
I think investors are looking for where Boeing is in the crisis that began in early January, and are they beginning to come out of it? Because if you remember, after the door plug blew out of that plane on January 5th, the FAA took the unprecedented action of barring Boeing from being able to expand production beyond 38 planes per month. Now, since then, they've drastically reduced that number, well below that. So I think the market wants to see, has Boeing begun to turn the corner? Can it show the street a roadmap or a way that they can get back to 38?
Who will we hear from on the investor call? The CEO has announced he's leaving, right?
So Dave Calhoun, the CEO, is still in place. He's going to be there until the board chooses his successor. So the board is still in that process of picking and selecting that new CEO. But it is the first time that Dave Calhoun is going to be out there since the day he announced he planned to step down by the end of the year. And so I do think investors are going to be looking for some sign about how long it's going to take Boeing to pick a new CEO and what the board's thinking might be.
Nations around the world are preparing for a possible second Donald Trump presidency. Reuters has spoken to diplomats and government officials to get an idea of just what those preparations look like. Mark Bendai is a global managing editor at Reuters who looks after our political coverage. Mark, let's start with the direct talks. Who is talking to whom?
So we've seen in recent weeks, we've seen the Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban head to the US and meet Trump. Also President Duda, who is right of center, the president of Poland. And unconfirmed, but it's been reported and our own sources have confirmed this, but it's not confirmed from the Trump side and not from the other side, which is Saudi Arabia, the Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. That's a very interesting phone call.
What about the nations which drew ire from Trump during his presidency, like Germany? He was critical of their NATO spending, among other things.
Well, Germany's really interesting. So this time around, what they've decided to do is go in at a kind of a grassroots level in the United States. They're also talking to Democrats, but they've appointed what they call a transatlantic coordinator, a person called Michael Link. And his job is to essentially build those bridges at a state level. And they would hope that if, for example, a future Trump presidency were to again threaten trade sanctions or restrictions on Germany, that Trump's own base would remind the president that there's a lot at stake.
How about in Mexico?
Well, Mexico's really interesting because they have their own election in June. The favorite to win that election for president is Claudia Sheinbaum from the ruling party. Now, she has, according to our sources, two options for foreign minister, depending on who looks like winning the US election in November.
So she'll choose her foreign minister depending on whether Trump gets in?
Yeah, she's one of the names we have, Marcelo Ebrard. Now, he has dealt in the past with the Trump presidency, and he would be the likely choice for foreign minister if, as I say, Trump is tipped by that stage to be firm favourite for the presidency.
Negotiators from 175 countries are gathered in Ottawa, Canada, to try and tackle the plastic crisis. They want to draft the first ever global treaty to rein in plastic pollution. But what would that look like? And how likely is it to pass? For that, we turn to our climate reporter, Valerie Volkovici. First, Valerie, can you give a sense of the scale of this problem?
So the scale is enormous. We're on pace to triple the amount of plastic that's produced over the next 40 years. And I mean, that's an enormous volume of plastic. Right now, most plastic is made from as petroleum-based. So that will also increase the demand for oil to kind of meet this kind of growing need for plastic or this growing production in plastic.
Now, what would this treaty do?
Well, this treaty would do something that could be pretty ambitious if countries agree to it, which is to tackle the plastic pollution problem, not just from the downstream, not just the waste problem, but from the upstream as well. So getting into the production, getting into the design of plastic products. So really tackling the whole life cycle of plastic pollution.
Is it likely to be implemented?
So countries have an ambitious timeline to get a final draft completed at the end of this year. Getting all these countries on board will be a challenge because you've got major plastic, petrochemical producing countries that are beginning to really push back on what the scope of this treaty should include. So getting to a final agreement will be tricky, but then again, there's quite a lot of momentum. So they could come up with what is a kind of a basic common denominator that gets everyone on board, and then this will push some of the implementation issues further down the road.
That's your Wednesday update. We'll be back tomorrow with the latest from around the world. But before you go, we have a quick favor to ask. We want your feedback. We'd love it if you could fill out a quick 5-minute survey. We'll put the link in the description. To make sure you never miss any of our updates, subscribe on your favorite podcast player.